you know, Franklin Sanders and I were talking about, you know, negative interest rates not making sense in anybody's universe. And we have these nominally negative interest rate yields now. You know, there is a point made in this article I'm going to cover later that discusses why they actually can make sense. Well, she didn't say it that way. I say it that way. That's what I divined from it. I don't want to jump the gun and tell you what it means, but it's very, very interesting what these negative interest rates have done to one component of fiscal and monetary policy for countries. So maybe that's the reason. We're going to see if I found the reason why these negative interest rates are, quote unquote, making sense. By the way, I never did tell you what the financial question of the day is, but I wrote it in my email to you. So here it is. But here we go. One more time real quick. I kind of mentioned it. Do you ever have buyer's remorse? Do you ever have spending regret? Maybe we can maybe I'll help you. This will help you remember the question of the day. Ready? Here we go. Let's do it.
A used pink bathrobe, a rare mint snow globe, a Smurf TV tray I bought on eBay. My house is filled with this crap. Shows up in bubble wrap most every day. What I bought on eBay. Tell me why I need another pet.
Yeah, why did I do that? Why did I buy that stuff? So that's your question today. Did you ever have buyer's remorse? Are you ever saying to yourself, what in the world did I buy and why in the world did I buy it? Let me ask you a question. Do you think you invest like Billy Boy Gates? Billy Boy! I mean, if you had a couple billion dollars, $106 billion to be exact, would you invest like Billy Gates? So I came across this and it, you know, well, there's a lot of points to take out of this. Let's just jump in. The title of the article was The Simple Strategy Fueling the Rise of Bill Gates' Fortune. Now, I don't think his investing strategy had anything to do with the rise of his fortune. However, let's just go ahead and play along and just say this guy has something to say. Tom Metcalf at Financial Advisor Magazine Online. We're not, you know, in some defensive posture where we're mostly in cash or anything like that, the Microsoft Corp founder said in an interview with Bloomberg Television. Quote, the strategy that's been used on the investments is to be over 60% in equities, close quote. Now that's – okay. So right away, opening paragraph, they're trying to make you believe in the classic 60-40 allocation. And by the way, there is a research paper done on this that says that's a good allocation for most people. It has less volatility but good growth, and it'll do you right over the long term. And I can't say anything against that necessarily, but I think it really makes the most sense for a corporation or a foundation that doesn't have a lifetime, right? I mean, they have perpetual duration. So being 60-40 and watching the equities run up and down and all around really wouldn't bother that entity too much. So it really makes the most sense there. And I always wonder when someone says, oh yeah, go heavy equities, 60, 70, 80%, if they would keep saying that if they saw a 30% decline in the market, and then a 40%, and then a 50, then a 70, then a 90% decline. Those things have happened in the past. And I wonder if they would really sit there and just eat those losses or, as I suspect, possibly hedge or get out, go to cash, do what you may. So anyway, Bill Gates is 60% in equities, according to him. That's helped Gates add $16 billion, that's billion with a B, to his net worth this year, taking his wealth to $106 billion behind only Jeff Bezos on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Even as his charitable donations have topped $35 billion. So he makes $16 billion. He's throwing $35 billion in the old charitable foundation. So I say jump in and do the same thing. Come on, guys. All you have to do is get 60% equities and you'll have $106 billion in no time flat.